and welcome to episode 15 of the Tapping with Taco podcast. I'm your host, Takuto Watanabe. This is a podcast to help military veterans successfully transition out of the military to their civilian careers or businesses. I bring on guests to share the lessons they've learned during their journey, so you can get a sneak peek into what life will be like after your military career. On today's episode, I bring on Scott, who went from being a criminal investigator for the Coast Guard to creating his own consulting and investigations business. We talk about his journey and some of the lessons he learned when he was starting his business. So if you're looking to go down the entrepreneurial journey, this episode is a must listen. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. Nikes on the dash, Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. Nikes on the dash. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Tapping with Taco podcast. Very excited to have you here today. We'll be talking about entrepreneurship and resilience. But before we dive in, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast. This is a super important topic. I love talking about it, how veterans are going to be helping businesses and organizations be more resilient. So my story started a number of years ago. I joined the military like 99% of us right out of high school and joined the Coast Guard. I didn't really know any other branch of the military to join. I joined the Coast Guard, was in the Coast Guard for a while, did some stuff in junk and became a criminal investigator in the Coast Guard Reserve. And then 9/11 happened and my agency asked me, hey, do you want to be a civilian special agent for the Coast Guard? And I said, sure, that's makes some good money. And, but while I was in the reserves, I had to make a decision about what do I do with my reserve time? Cause I couldn't be a reserve special agent and a civilian special agent at the same time. So ended up crossing over to the Air Force Reserve as a special agent when they found out that, I had had all the same training and done all the same things that they had. They decided to bring me in. And of course, they take the Coast Guard guy who's used to the coast where all my contacts were, and they put me in the middle of America in South Dakota, which I love, by the way. I love being in South Dakota. It's a beautiful area. And then they sent me overseas to Germany and sent me to South and Central America, and then finally to my last base before where I retired from in Italy. And so that was kind of my military career, my law enforcement career as a federal agent. They sent me to, I didn't do a lot of Coast Guard stuff. They sent me immediately to the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And so I worked with the FBI and did a bunch of fun stuff with them before transitioning to a counter-narcotics task force in Los Angeles, and then went back to the Joint Terrorism Task Force where I rounded out my career there. And my time in federal service went so fast, I thought, well, I better start making plans to transition to the private sector. I figured, you know, that's where I would go when I leave federal service because I'll be too young to actually retire. And I found a mentor in the private sector who ended up offering me an amazing job with a tech company called NVIDIA. And when I started there, their stock was $13 or $14 a share. And they just split. They were before the split. They were at $800 a share. They just did a four-way split, and now I think are around 200 something a share. And so I worked there building executive protection investigations and corporate security programs for them when they didn't have a lot of that in place when I got there. So help them build that program, and then Facebook hired me to build a risk team, a risk investigations team for that with them. And I went in there, built that team, and then became a consultant back to the private sector before moving to Arizona, beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, and starting my own practice doing consulting and investigations. That's where I am
now.
That's
quite a journey, man. You've gone through a lot of different things. What made you decide to jump into the entrepreneurship or business owner path?
Well, you know, my dad had had his own business for a long time, and I never really appreciated the struggle there. But I always liked talking about business, and I tried to. It's been kind of a passion of mine or a hobby when I was in federal service before I left. And so I've been really interested in kind of running my own business. What does that mean? And how do you do it? And so it kind of started just from I love business. I love international business. But I never really understood the kind of the steps that were required to go do these things. And so that's what kind of got me interested, like, oh, I guess, you know, I can have my own business, or I can have something that I can make my own and go out there and pivot off my own personality and my own name and build something that I can have some ownership in. But there are component parts that I needed in my life. And this is my kind of my journey and what I had to figure out for myself before I could actually go do it. One of those things was I wanted to have my family in such a position to where if I didn't know if I would make money for the first couple of months of, now I have, fortunately, knock on wood, I have, and I will continue to, but I had to have my family be kind of self-sufficient. So my kids, I wanted them to be either have their own jobs or be in college and be kind of the ability to get themselves around. And then my wife, I wanted her to have a career where she could carry our insurance, because I knew now I'm a disabled veteran, so I get insurance through the VA, but I didn't want my family to have to worry about those things. And so my wife was in a position after my kids started college that she could go out and get a job, and she carries our insurance, and she's putting away money for her own retirement now. And so those are kind of the component parts for me that I wanted to make sure those could be solid before I made my own entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I know before we quickly chatted before today recording this, you were saying a lot of military veterans want to go down that entrepreneurial business owner path. And I know you mentioned you had these components set in place, but what other lessons learned during your time in the military have you applied to entrepreneurship that really has solidified your growth and your success so far?
Yeah, I think for me, it was our ability to plan and to adapt and to pivot. And so that's why I talk so much about veterans being really good at resilience, because what is our military career but hurry up and wait? You know, we have all these sayings, right? And Semper Gumby and things like that. Well, we joke about it, but the reality is you can take most veterans and put them in an austere environment, and they'll be resilient. They'll build something. They'll make connections. They'll be self-sufficient. And that comes from years, if not decades, of experience from when we were very young. We had those connections made for us in boot camp, right? We all, it doesn't matter what branch of the military you're in, somebody yelled at you once or twice, you know, maybe if you're in the Air Force that you had a stern talking to, right? I can joke like that because I'm an airman, but we all were taken out of our comfort zones where we grew up with our families, and we were put into an environment where it was like, oh, you have to survive somehow, and you've got to figure out a way to be part of this team. And, or if you're in the Air Force, you had to figure out a way how to get to the dining facility. and so, sorry, I just have to make these jokes. It's going to be fun.
Everyone's ragging on the Air Force.
It's going to be fun. I'm not done yet. The Coast Guard's coming. Just wait. So I think because as we were coming up in the world, we had to be resilient, like from Jump Street. That directly translate into, I'll just say, private sector experience, because they in the military, yes, do they tell you what to wear and what time to show up and what your job's going to be? They're pretty good at that, and business is pretty good at that as well. But I think the military has ingrained into us this idea that, hey, you're going to be part of a team and you've got to go forward and you've got to go accomplish a mission. And so the things that I've learned and that I brought with me is that if you give me a mission, I'm going to go accomplish that. That's kind of thing one. Thing two is if you give me a purpose, I'm going to go accomplish a mission. And so that's something that is directly related to my entrepreneurial work, which is you are the mission commander. And when you're, especially when you work for yourself, you're the mission commander. So you've got to set the tone for maybe other folks that might work with you, or you need to set the tone for yourself. And that discipline that I'm going to get up early, I'm going to go PT, I'm going to go have a process for starting my day. That's really important for veterans to continue to do. And that's why I think, regardless of whether you're going to be an entrepreneur or you're going to and work for yourself, or you're going to go work in another organization in the private sector, that's what you bring to the table. You bring that you're a team player, that you think outside the box. As much as the military tries to put you in a box, I really do think they inadvertently train you to think outside of it. Because how many of us are trying to figure out how to get out of a detail or try and accomplish a mission some other way without having to go through a painful experience, right? You go to Ranger school, you got to figure out how to accomplish a mission in a unique way. You go to SEER school, you got to figure out how to escape from the prison, you know, and those kinds of things. So that's ingrained into our culture in the military. As much as we make it a joke, it really is. And I think that's what makes it specifically important, because what we've learned over the last year and a half or 2 years with this pandemic is that companies don't have, unfortunately, I'm going to pick on my civilian counterparts here a little bit. It hasn't been ingrained into them that sometimes it's going to suck. Sometimes it's going to be terrible, but you got to push through it. That's a veteran. And that's the special sauce, that the secret sauce that we have that most people don't. And I'm not going to say everybody, I'm not going to paint a broad brush, but I'm going to say many, many people don't have that. Maybe if you were in sports or something coming up, you had that, or your martial arts, you had that. But veterans bring that with them. And some of us, many of us, a career, decades of doing that or being in that situation. So that's the secret sauce that we bring to entrepreneurship and or to business.
I don't remember how many times I heard the phrase "embrace the suck" while I was a lower enlisted soldier, right?
That's right.
One thing I thought that was interesting you brought up was being the mission commander of your business. You're running your business. You need to know which direction you need to go. And in every mission, even in the military, right, you run into obstacles and you have to be resilient. Are there any obstacles that you've had to overcome during your time building your business out?
Absolutely. And one thing I'll tell people, and they don't, maybe this is the wrong thing to do. I don't know. I'm still learning, but I'll tell people, I'll be honest with them and I'll be upfront with them and tell them I'm gonna work hard for you. I'm going to do everything I can to support you, but there are going to come times in our relationship where I'm going to make a mistake, but I'm going to own that mistake. And that's something I learned from the military early on, right? We've all learned about accountability. And again, maybe I'm doing this wrong, but I'm going to be honest with folks who I'm working with, whether they be partners or vendors or customers or clients. I'm going to tell them the truth. Now, I'm also one thing that I learned was, in the military, we deliver truth a certain way, and it might be very pointed. The private sector doesn't appreciate that candidness necessarily. Should we dull our point? Probably not, but we can deliver it in a way that comes from a point of kindness. And so that's something I've learned, is how do you deliver bad news? How do you deliver things that are hard for people to hear? Not everybody wants to hear, that they need to be to go themselves. Nobody wants to, not everybody likes to hear that. Please beep that word out if you have to, but not everybody wants to hear that in the private sector that way. And you can still deliver that message, hey, you're screwed up and you need to fix something, in a certain tone or tenor or with compassion that will help them understand that without being in their face about it. And so I learned that. The other thing I learned is that I don't have the marketing ability that I thought I had. And I've had to learn that. Fortunately, I'm in entrepreneurial programs that are helping me with that. But what I mean by I didn't understand marketing was because before, when I worked for a company, I didn't have to market. I wasn't there to push NVIDIA products or Facebook products or any of that stuff. I was there to support them in their mission and remove barriers so that marketing could go out and do their thing. when you're in an entrepreneurial role, especially in a small business like mine, where I have one employee and that employee is an asshole sometimes, I'm talking about myself, you have to figure out, how do I deliver this message about why you want to contract with me? You know, we talk about know, like, and trust in entrepreneurship. They have to know you, they have to like you, they have to trust you. And that's really hard when you're in a new market. So for me, I spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley, in the Bay Area, and then I moved to Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix is a completely different, and Arizona is a completely different approach to business than what I was used to in Silicon Valley. And I'm open to that, and I'm learning about that. And so I had to be able to pivot. When I was trying something that wasn't working, I got to pivot. And I can continue to pivot. And I really look at not so much as a pivot as much as it is an evolution of me. And so I'm evolving all the time, thinking about how do I accomplish my goals in a way that maybe doesn't take as much time or that is more efficient. And that's sometimes the hard thing to do, is to figure out how do you do that in an efficient amount of time. Because I could go and have lunches all day, every day for weeks on end with people, but what's the ROI? What's the return on that investment? So I'm figuring out how to build relationships without putting a ton of time and energy into being face-to-face with people. So I love doing things like this, where we can take an hour out of the day and record a podcast and deliver messages and get my approach to things out into the public as much as possible.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned the evolution portion, because it reminds me of promotions, right? You take on more responsibilities and evolve as a person while you take on the responsibilities and learn new skills. And I know that you've touched a little bit more on the tactical pieces of kind of building your business. Are there any recommendations that you would have for those looking to build a business or create a business after leaving the military?
Yeah, start early is the number one thing to do. Be less concerned about what people will think or how to do it. Just start doing it, especially if you're in the military and your command allows it. Just start. Now, if you're in a highly regulated business like mine, I have a private investigations license. I'm licensed to do work in a couple of different states. So my approach, or my advice rather, is to start early. And because when you put something at risk, like you spent money to go get a business license in the state where you reside, and you have an idea, you have a concept, be less concerned about, oh, I have to have a business plan that is written down on a 3x5 card, and I read it to myself every day. Like, forget about it, man. Just go out there and try something, because you start learning right away. Now, when you have more at stake, sure, get your focus tighter. When you have, maybe you got kiddos at home and you're trying to pay for their school and healthcare and all those other things. Maybe you go find a job and then you work a side hustle. Don't be afraid of just starting something. Even if it's a consulting business, I see a lot of veterans who do corporate consulting and corporate coaching rather. And because they're teaching them some of the great lessons that our military leaders have learned over time. And they're teaching our civilian counterparts these things. That's a great thing to start. Go start imparting and having conversations. Because what I didn't realize was I've got a unique view on the world. And not until I started working on this for myself did I realize how other people saw me and that I need to change my messaging and how I'm positioning myself. So that's something that I would not have known unless I had just started doing my own work and for my own reasons. And then I go, okay, then I start realizing, oh, I can start fixing these things. So if you can do this early on, start learning those tough lessons early, and then you'll figure it out and you'll start narrowing down and start something that isn't specific. Start something that's very broad and general, because then you'll figure out what specific is.
Yeah. How do you figure out, like, what do you want to do though? Right. How did you figure out what you wanted to do?
Yeah. For me, it's what I call test and learn, and a lot of mistakes and the process for me was, let me test this in the market and see if there's any reaction. Now, I have a patience problem, which is something I have to work on, but because I kind of want to see a bit of instant results. But I've been at this 4 months now, and so I am learning to be patient and brace the suck, like we talked about earlier, and just kind of be in that moment and be in, like, when it's uncomfortable, just be uncomfortable. It's okay. Be uncomfortable. And that's what I want people to understand, is you're not going to hit a home run right out the gate. You're not going to have great success, more than likely, instantly. But if you're passionate enough about doing this, and by the way, we need more people in entrepreneurial roles, and if we get time, I'll get to that. But I test things, and then I adjust, and then I test it, and I adjust, and it's constant flow, which is, I guess it's why it's good that I have my own business for myself, or with myself, and I don't have employees, because I'm sure I'd drive the employees nuts. I'm always tweaking my website, for example, or I have some marketing material. I'm always tweaking that, because it's a constant evolution of, like, this didn't work. Let's approach it this way. Let's not use that term. Oh yeah, I found out a person likes it when I use this term. Let me try this. And so for me, it's just test and learn.
That's what we have to do in the military anyways, right? You're used to doing that. Like you said, you've had to pivot a lot in general.
Yeah.
Can you think of any resources? I know you mentioned that earlier on, there's a lot of things that you had to learn to figure out how to build your business and like your business license, for example, you're saying. What kind of resources are out there for veteran business owners to start their own business?
Yeah, this is the million-dollar question. If somebody could figure out how to bring these all together, I know there are organizations that do this to some extent, but helping veteran entrepreneurs or vetrepreneurs understand maybe a list of where all these resources are, and then a guide to how you access some of these resources. The hardest resources that I've been finding to access are the ones in the VA. A big surprise there, right? But the SBA, the Small Business Administration, has resources for veterans and entrepreneurs. And so there's that. If you need access to capital, you need money to go start something, there are banking resources for that. Chase, by the way, I'm not trying to give them a plug. They are my bank, but they offer certain benefits that other banks don't be to entrepreneurs. So look at those kinds of things. But the biggest resource for me has been my veteran community. And I didn't realize how important that was until I got here. And I usually try and connect with veterans anyways when I land in a new market. And that has been tremendous for my business, and has been supporting me as I figure out who I am today and who I'm going to be tomorrow. So the best resource I can recommend is, and this is for veterpreneurs and or somebody who wants to go work in a new place or a new market or a new industry, find those veterans who are doing it, and then if they're open to it, talk to them about it. How did you do what you did? I'm also involved in a program for vetrepreneurs that is managed by Bunker Labs, and a huge plug for them, because I would not be where I am today without them. They have been a huge benefit to me. I've been in their program for almost 6 weeks now, and what they do is at 6 month stints, they bring together veterans who have their own businesses, and some of these folks have full time jobs and are doing this as a side hustle. So you don't have to be a full-time running your business, supporting yourself type person, but they're teaching us how to do what it is that we do. And the best thing that I have gotten out of this, there's tons of benefits, but the thing that has worked well for me, because I have kind of a unique business in that it's more about service than it is about a product, I have a great support network. So we have a young lady who is a marketing guru, and she's got her own marketing business, and she does a bunch of stuff, and she's in our cohort. I'm talking with her about, hey, how should I be thinking about my brand and these kinds of things. But figure out what I call your tribe. Find your tribe. And that tribe can be geographic, it can be international, it can be virtual. But finding a tribe is so important because they're going to be the ones that are going to uncover things that you just could never have known. You can Google a lot, but I think the tribe that's around you and your network is going to be everything. And you don't need to pay for that on LinkedIn. You can get that for free. You get yourself a LinkedIn account, open it up, start looking for those people that you are stationed with, or maybe that were in the same branch of the military that are in the industry that you want to be part of, and start pinging them. Ask them, how'd you do it? Because they've got a story just like I do. And again, I'm a resource too. People are out there and they're interested in security investigations, consulting space. Let me know, because I want to be your resource too. Because ultimately what makes the world go around is relationships. And we all know that, being in the military, you know, we know that better than anybody.
Networking. It all goes back to networking for that stuff.
That's right.
When you talk about tribes though, are you looking specifically for things that you're not good at, or are you looking to enhance things that you're to get better at those things that you are good at?
All the above. I mean, it's a good question because it's hard, right? Because we all think, oh, I'm really good at it. Especially me. I came out of the military, two branches of the military, as a criminal investigator. I thought, oh, there's probably nothing that I can learn. Well, it was literally just at a lunch meeting with a great bunch of people, veterans, who are in the security investigation space here in Phoenix. And I learned a ton from them about how they do what they do, how we should be approaching these investigations on the private side, private sector side. And so I'm always open to learning more about what it is that we do and how we do it, being more professional, but also on how do I save my client money? There are processes and procedures and technology to everything that we do. How can I cut that down to save my clients some money? Well, you're not going to figure that out unless you do test and learn, or you network and you find out through your network. Oh, hey, what do you charge for this? Oh, I charge X. Oh, what do you charge? Oh, I charge Y. Oh, I need to maybe adjust where I'm at, or why is my value where it is? And you're not going to know that unless you actually get out there and network with these folks.
Yeah, I think that's amazing how you're highlighting that. Even though you might have people that are doing the same thing as veterans, we kind of try to help each other out and want to see each other succeed. So I think that's great
everything.
Your story about that.
Yeah, that's everything. And truly, and I'll go into this really quickly. I know we're close to our time, but I look at our time in history right now, when we've been at war the longest time at any time in American history. It's very similar to World War II. So we had millions of people coming out of the war, 1945, when we've completed our overseas missions, and everybody was coming back into the world in 1945, into the late 50s, early 60s timeframe. We were going back to school. And we were, because of the Montgomery GI Bill, and we were starting businesses because the VA had business loans, and we were starting families, and we were doing all these things. We, as in veterans, by the way, I'm not from the future, from the past. I don't think I am. But so that time is very similar to right now. We've been at war. Now we see what happens we'll see what happens in Afghanistan. But we are no longer in conflict overseas in mass like we have been in the last 20 years. So people are coming back, they're getting education, and they're starting businesses. Well, I look at what happened 10 years, 15, 20 years after the end of World War II. We finally had a place where the economy was booming. I realize that we're at war in Vietnam, but in the 50s and 60s, we call that the nuclear age, right? We're sending rockets to space, we're putting people on the moon. That economy is where we are going to be in a few years. And so their relationships were built, business relationships were built, because business owners were like, oh, I was in the army with this person, and now he is also part of this business. I'm going to do business with that person because we were in the same branch of military. We're in the same unit. We flew B-52s together, whatever it is. We were on the same ship. We were on the same submarine. We were in the same Marine Corps company, whatever it is. But now they're in the private sector, And so they built these, they had these tight relationships because they had bled together, and now they're in business together 10, 15, 20 years later. So I think that's where we're going. And my emphasis here is on veterans becoming entrepreneurs because, one, we're going to be more resilient than our civilian counterparts. Two, investors want to invest in somebody who's going to be resilient and who's going to stick it out, because instant success is not a good thing and it's not likely to happen. So investors want to know, are you going to be there for the long, long run? And the reality is, I think veteran entrepreneurs or vetrepreneurs over normal entrepreneurs will when it gets tough, they'll make the tough call. You know, they'll make the call to fire somebody or to terminate a relationship to save the company, because that's the kind of decisions we've had to make as military people. So we're coming into this unprecedented time that we haven't seen since the late 1940s, where amount of veterans in the private sector are going to come together in the private sector because we were veterans, because we served together, and now we're going to do business together in an unprecedented amount, an unprecedented manner. So it's really exciting to be able to talk with those folks and see where they're going to be. Because to your point, we don't want to have some type of reward, because we want to see good veterans succeed and do good things. And we don't have to have something in it for us. We just want to see our partners, our brothers and sisters who we bled with overseas, succeed. And there's no other agenda there. We just want to see them succeed. And you can't say that about our civilian counterparts. You just can't. No offense to them. You just can't. Because they have to make money. But for us, it's about our brothers and sisters. We call them brothers and sisters for a reason, you know, because we truly think of them as our family.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that evolve and transform in a few years, and what that looks like in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have any other closing advice that you'd share to a veteran who's looking to start their own business?
Yeah, don't go it alone is something I always say on my podcast, and I truly mean it. The folks come out here into the private sector or considering pivoting in and starting their own business, don't feel like you're ever alone and that it's too big to figure out. I know you have the right skills to be successful, and there's a great community of folks out here. Sure, we've seen a lot and we've done a lot. But don't compare your today with somebody else's yesterday. You're going to expand and do what you love doing the way you love doing it. You just got to figure out how to do that. And that's something that there's a great community out here that will help you do that. So you don't have to go it alone. You have partners around you. You've got people that you can share your experience with. So that's kind of thing one. The other thing is thing two. Fix yourself too. If you're struggling with your experience from the military, that there's nothing wrong with that. But spend time during your day, during your week, whatever, fixing yourself. And that goes to that resilience play, because we are all learning about, you know, TBI and mental health concerns that come out of people who have military experience. If you can fix yourself and you know that you're not alone, you will be successful. But those are component parts. You got to spend some time on yourself. Don't forget about that. It's too important.
All right. I think those are awesome last two closing things. I feel like I say this a lot, but you do you, right? You got to figure out what you got to do and figure out how you can be successful on your own too.
Totally agree.
And so closing this out, if people have any follow-up questions or they want to reach out to you, how do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, go to my website and connect with me on LinkedIn. My website is walkerinvestigations.page, P-A-G-E. And you can find me on LinkedIn pretty easy. Just spell Scott with one T, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R, like the Texas Ranger.
Is there anything else you want to plug, like your business or anything?
No, this is great. I really appreciate everything that you're doing because it is so important that we get the word out about how folks can transition and the community that is awaiting them. You're not losing anything by leaving the military or retiring or separating. You're gaining and just a different family. It's like PCSing to civilian world, and we don't have grooming standards. So you be you.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Scott. I really appreciate your time. This was fun talking about entrepreneurship and just being resilient.
Definitely.
I hope you enjoyed hearing Scott's path and his business and can take away ideas if you're thinking about starting your own business. I highly recommend reaching out to him if you have any follow-up questions after listening to this episode. If you missed anything in today's episode, I'll leave that in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in. Please share this with your fellow military veterans and spouses that you think would benefit from hearing this episode. Talk to y'all next time. Peace.
In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. In the Subaru with my Nikes on the dash. Nikes on the dash. Nikes on the dash.
West side in the field, what's real? I got my whole squad popping like they on two pills. No sign less, it got 2 mil. I ain't meek when it come to big banks, like my first name Phil.